It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live on Thursday afternoon, April 25th, NFL Draft Day 1. I'm Beck, Bulls underscore Beck, joined by my guys, Big Day, Bow, BNWL Sports, and Will the Go Gottlieb, Will underscore Gottlieb. Our pal producer, Joyce Mathis, rocking with us behind the scenes from our studio where the final preparations are being put in motion for our CHGO Bears watch party, part one. Joe's on weed later tonight.
On weed?
We on weed? There is a palpable excitement flying through the streets and veins of Chicago as we await Caleb Williams being selected first overall. In the meantime, we are here to keep you entertained, to kill an hour while we wait, and figured we would do a little bit of Zach LaVine trade talk today. But before we dive into that, gentlemen, how are we? How is everyone's nerves, excitement levels? Everybody feeling good?
Feel great.
I'm feeling good. I'm ready. Yeah. I feel like the Bulls are like such a, not to say like I don't enjoy watching the Bulls or enjoy covering them, but it's like, it's a job, right? Like we're doing our job here. But so the Bears are like this team that I still get to be a fan of. And it's exciting to have a little bit of excitement coming through and like a real quarterback. I'm very excited.
Very, 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 very excited. I'm tired of watching Madden simulations on YouTube of Caleb Williams with the Bears because that's how hungry I am for this. I can't wait. It's going to be an exhale once it happens. I'm just waiting to say the name so I can exhale and continue with the awesome night that it's going to be.
Chris Davis in the comments said, can you please give us your take on the NFL draft of the Bears future? What, you don't get enough of that for the Bears show? Here's my quick take on the NFL draft and the Bears future. I'm excited. Yay, Caleb. Can't wait to see what they do at 9. Would be happy with Adunze. Would be happy if Poles, reaccumulates a few picks later in the draft, trading down a few spots while keeping a later first round pick. And the Bears future in general, I feel better about that than the Bulls future. That's my answer.
I mean, it's super interesting because they built out their asset base. They built out their core like exactly how you would hope the Bulls would do it. And obviously, like, they kept you entertained along the way. They kept you engaged with Justin Fields. And obviously, there was a ton of love for him throughout the team and the fan base. But just like the process there, I feel like that's something that the Bulls should learn from as far as how you can build sustainable success. And obviously they fell into some luck with the Texans like scoring on that final play and getting the first pick and then trading down with the right team and that team taking the wrong quarterback. I mean, if they take CJ Stroud instead of Bryce Young last year, it's probably a different story. And so a lot of it had to fall into place the right way. And that's kind of how it always goes. But I feel like the process there, the vision, the commitment to building the future the right way is something that if you do it right and you don't take any shortcuts and you commit to that process, you're going to find success. And it may not always turn out this way where you're getting a generational quarterback prospect that you can build around with a great defensive core and offensive weapons now. But I feel like when you set yourself up like that, good things will happen. And yeah, I wish the Bulls would take some lessons from that.
Yeah, we've seen the Bears in this, well, actually never in this position ever in the history of Chicago Bears. We've never seen this before, them being the number one pick. But we have seen them in a position to draft franchise-changing players, and they picked incorrectly. Even though they were put in the right position for it, they had a chance to get a quarterback, and they took Mitch Trubisky. I've seen them have a chance to get a quarterback, and they take Cade McNown. You know, I've seen them, you know, in those positions to get those kind of players, and they always ended up taking the wrong players at that time. And I got sick of just watching other teams get fat, you know what I mean, and have fun and enjoy those kind of things. So it's been a long time coming for the Bears to be operated like this. I'm happy. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. And again, guys, we're not going for goodness no more. They're going for greatness. And this is kind of what it looks like. And that's what makes me so excited, because we've all seen them be good, but now we're looking for sustained greatness. And this is kind of the way to do it.
And the other thing is, like, last year when they had, I think it was the ninth pick, and they ended up moving back and not taking Jalen Carter because there were like concerns about his character or whatever. And then there were other people that were saying, like, well, like, he wouldn't thrive in this culture, in this system, in this context. And it's like, you gotta, what does that say about you? You need to like build the right context. You have to establish that infrastructure. And I feel like this year they put that together. And again, it's the same thing with like any rookies. Like, you can hit on talent, but that player in any sport, like, it's going to struggle if the context is not right around them. And I feel like they put themselves in a position now to make the most out of this. And like, all the talk about Caleb wanting to be great, you know, win 8 Super Bowls, like, he wants commitment from his team. Like, that's what the Bears should be doing. That's what any team should be doing to give, you know, the right infrastructure around their franchise player. And again, that's something that I feel like the Bulls really need to learn how to do and need to study and start to establish themselves. And I think they've tried to do that with, you know, the DeMar era and bringing in veterans who are competing and stuff like that. But that was to be good. And like you said, Dave, the Bears are trying to do it to be great. And it's a huge difference, and you can really feel that.
Spooky Kitty in the comments saying, if my experience with the Bears in the last 20 years taught me anything, it's we should definitely get our hopes up. as our pal Cody would say, ready to be heard again. Black Rain, it must be slow just hours before Caleb is official, and this is a topic. Maybe you're confused. This is a bull show, and we're going to talk Zach LaVine in a second. Ricky Reaper saying, screw the Bears, but go Bulls. Go Pack, go. Let's talk Bulls, please. Well, thank you for joining us, Ricky. Yes, indeed, go Bulls, but rethink your life choices. Get bent, you cheesehead. shout out to Rex Grossman, who has the same number of NFC Championship game victories as Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, go Pack, go.
Yeah, you did it to yourself.
You did it to yourself. Wesley saying, remember when the Bulls had a first overall pick and nailed it? Shout out to you, Rose. Colin saying, Bears probably win a Super Bowl before the Bulls even sniff the finals. Can Bulls also be the GM of the Bulls? I approve this plan. Ricky, you're from Rockford. Why are you a Packers fan? Move to Wisconsin, you jagweed. All right, let's dive in.
Jagweed.
When are we?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. No, that was a shout-out to Mona Lisa Zapperstein from Parks and Rec. I was just watching one of those John Ralphio and Mona Lisa episodes. She's complaining about all the jagweeds who are frustrating her happiness. Nathan saying, Bulls have got to keep Zach LaVine. That is the topic for today. Kind of spurred by something that your colleague on the beat, Casey Johnson, said, Will, on a recent Bulls Talk podcast episode with our guy Bulldog, and Tony Gill. This is what Casey said when talking about a potential Zach deal this offseason. Quote, I know that it's an organizational focal point. I know that for sure. End quote. So if any Bulls fans were wondering, maybe the we need to make changes thing AK said at his season-ending presser maybe meant letting DeMar go, trying to find a deal for Vooch or whatever else, but maybe rethinking the Zach LaVine trade part because the market for him was so cold at the deadline. That sounds like that is still very much a big focus, if not the biggest focus, for the Bulls this offseason. Will, what is your response to that? I mean, surprised to hear that? Not surprised to hear that?
Definitely not surprised to hear that. I mean, we've talked about it before. If the Bulls want to make changes, and it sounds like, coming from AK himself, that is the truth, then there are kind of few ways to do it. And that's why I've continued to harp on this idea that, like, if you want to make any changes, you kind of need to make a big change. And what that means is you need to move off of either Zach and or DeMar, basically. And that's just the way that the Bulls cap sheet is situated. So I think the bigger question, like, aside from Zach, and look, they shopped Zach around last summer. They shopped him around at the trade deadline after both sides, you know, agreed that it was time to move on. Nothing materialized. I think they're going to do that again this summer. And I think the bigger question is, okay, what's the next step? And what do you do with DeMar and Caruso? Because there are questions down the line, but really, unless you're just letting DeMar walk or pulling off a sign and trade somehow, like, the only move that you can do to open up all these other avenues and options for yourself is to move off of Zach. And so I think that's got to be, you know, if not priority number one, then priority number 1B, because DeMar is obviously, in his free agency, is a big deal for this team. And if he wants to leave or walk or come back for the right number, like, they've got to figure out how to make that work. But, like, even if the Bulls want to bring back DeMar on that $40 million per year for 2 years type of contract, like, they're going to be way into the tax unless they can move Zach first. And so if they're going to commit to DeMar in that way, they have to feel really comfortable and confident that they're going to be able to find a suitor for Zach LaVine. I've been saying for a while that I think the Bulls might be in a situation where they need to attach an asset to get off Zach. And I think that's potentially true, but as we'll talk about here today, like, there are some teams that are potentially going to be a little bit more interested than they were during the middle of the season with their cap space, with the way that their seasons ended. I do think there will be a little bit more interest. He may not be the first option. Maybe the Paul George domino falls first, the James Harden domino falls, and then Zach LaVine. You know, teams that kind of struck out on those two guys might start to dip their toe into the LaVine pool.
Yeah, I agree with Will. I think Zach LaVine honestly might be one of the greatest on paper players the Bulls have ever had. And the issue is him being on the floor and how it translates to winning and how it translates to making guys better hasn't been shown on a consistent basis for him for whatever reason, whether it was injuries, whether we just don't have the right guys, whether it was poor coaching, whatever you want to call it. It just has not worked out. I think they're too far down the road to bring this back. And I don't think Zach has enough cachet to say, you know what, guys, let's pull this back and let's start over. Unless AK might, you know, feel differently and change it. But this is just me personally talking about it. When I think about this, I think about Scottie Pippen. And I remember all the time Scottie Pippen said he wanted to be traded and how close he wanted to be traded. And this, and I mean, to the point where he was on TV, you know, during the game. Saying, I want to be traded. I don't want to be here anymore. And it never materialized. Well, the reason a lot of that reasoning, well, obviously one was because of Mike, but the other reason is Scottie Pippen had cachet. You could look at his resume. This is an all-pro. This is an all-star. This is a champion. He has these things behind him. Zach doing it and saying, I want to do this, and you look at his resume, okay, you got your two-time all-star, and that's kind of where you stop. So I don't think he has enough of that to where the Bulls should be willing to do that. I think they're just too far down the road. And when AK talks about major changes, a major change cannot be keeping the guy that you tried to trade during the season. So I just think it's going to happen, and I'm okay with it. I'm quite all right with it.
Can I say one thing before we get into, like, actual Zach stuff?
Sure.
Like, as I've said many times, I'm in favor of a full rebuild. I think they need to tear it down and start over. And if you are going to trade Zach and you can't really, or I guess maybe you're committed to trading Zach, the idea of it, but there aren't any suitors, like, would you have to attach, maybe, as Casey said, an Iotasumo or a Caruso in order to, you know, get the other team interested enough to where they're getting value on one contract so they can take a little bit of a hit on the other? To me, I would consider keeping Zach LaVine and trading basically everybody else that you can, whether that includes Vooch or not, you know, moving on from DeRozan in some capacity, sign and trade, or just letting him walk. I would explore trades for Kobe and Io, and I would explore trades for Zach. But if you can't move off of him without getting something, then I think it might be okay to move off of some of your other guys where you could get value and get positive assets back, and kind of weather these contracts from Vooch and from Zach LaVine until they become a little bit more palatable to other teams. Maybe, you know, a situation where it's Zach, Io, Kobe, Vooch next year. DeMar's gone. Caruso's gone. You've got a handful of assets coming in. And Zach's looking really good. Now, all of a sudden, at the trade deadline, he starts to be a little bit more enticing to other teams, you know, being that kind of primary scorer type. So I think that's not something that will happen. But I think if you are really committed, we're talking about Ryan Poles and committing to a path, committing to building value and an asset base. Like, I don't think attaching a pick or an asset to Zach in order to move him is a particularly smart move. But if you are really committed to this idea of keeping DeRozan with Kobe, Io, Vooch, Patrick, then that might be the only way to do it. So we'll see what happens. And I do think there are going to be some options out there, as we'll talk about some teams, but that is a kind of a pathway or an option that I would definitely explore if I were them, even though I don't expect them to.
Colin in the comments suggesting something very similar, Will, saying, how about we sign and trade DeMar, let Zach take DeMar's place, ha, until the next trade deadline, and maybe in that time, Zach can go back to being a 25-5-5 player, right? Like, I see the logic to that path as well. We got to take our first break here in a second, but Derek saying in the comments, the playoffs are great because teams Cough, Orlando, Sacramento, Warriors, etc., can see what they maybe should have acted on at the trade deadline. Fish saying, I'm sure they'll find somewhere for Zach, usually more suitors in the summer than at the deadline. Let's see. Somebody else mentioned the Kings. Kwiku Ghana also mentioning the Kings. We're going to talk about the Kings. We'll talk about Orlando. We'll talk about Golden State when we are talking about specific potential trade destinations for Zach on the other side of this break. While we are doing that, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're watching with us live on YouTube. If you're catching the replay on YouTube, helps us out a lot. Make sure you also subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. CHGO Bulls today brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. Coors Light's going to be flowing at the draft party, y'all. Between work, social media, and the choices life throw our way, it's no wonder that we're more worked up these days. Coors Light celebrates rising above and choosing a chill mindset. Why not turn a rained out barbecue into a karaoke house party? Or after a tough loss, settle the score with an ice cold peace offering, unless it is a peace offering to a Packers fan. Shout out. Make the choice to choose chill. Then reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. Honestly, its chill powers are so powerful, maybe it could even help you make peace with a Packers fan. I mean, they don't have the number one pick tonight, so I feel like tonight's the perfect opportunity to try to make peace with a Packers fan, if you would ever want to in your life. That's not my style, but maybe it's Dave's style. Make a peace with everybody.
Love everybody. Don't like everybody. I'll tell you that all the time.
There you go. Also, love Coors Light all the time, regardless of who you're loving or liking or not liking. When the mountains turn blue on that Coors Light can or bottle or cup, it's as cold as the Rockies. That's when you know it's time to crack it and drink. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged for a smoother finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Maybe when the Bears are officially on the clock and we hear that NFL draft jingle tonight, time to chill. Time to chill and crack a Coors. Make the most out of your time to choose to chill by choosing Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This episode, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know that one man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men aged 15 to 35. Now, with April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use that promo code BULLS, B-U-L-L-S, for 20% off and for free shipping at Manscaped. And with this in mind, you can perform simple routines, simple self-checks at home while you're enjoying Manscaped products that you use every day. Of course, like that Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Like, you know, it makes sense, right? You use it, you trim it up, you check, you make sure you're straight, or if you're not, but you figure out what your situation is while you're using your Manscaped products, ladies and gentlemen. And in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfort and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving supporters and fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. That is nice. Ooh. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off and free shipping with the code BULLS, because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chicken.
All right, let's dive into some trade talk, y'all. Multiple people in the comments mentioned the Kings, so why don't we start there? One of the teams to get bounced from the play-in tournament in the Western Conference, and a team that I think Bulls fans have been talking a lot about recently as a potential destination for the Bulls. Dave, I think you and I were chatting with our friends Sabine and Bulldog on our thread the other day about how did you describe the Kings as desperate and dumb? And their willingness to maybe make a trade with the Bulls?
I don't know if I said – I think you said dumb and I said desperate. There I think go. That's how that went.
It's a great combination for a team that, look, if you're the Kings and you just had this incredible season last season, yeah, and you just kind of can't find the right pieces together, you underperformed this season coming out of a season like that. Weren't they the 2 seed last year, if I'm remembering correctly? And this year you can't get out of the play-in tournament. People wondering what they need to do with this core of players. Harrison Barnes, a role player making a significant amount of money next season. Kevin Huerter, the same deal. I think one of them's at 17 mil, one of them's at 19 on the Kings books next season. Will, I know you have been like tinkering with some potential Bulls Kings trades as well. What do you make of that possible avenue for AK to explore?
I mean, there was some juice, I think, especially coming from Zach's camp around that initial trade request that Sacramento was a potential landing spot. They obviously underperformed this year, losing Malik Monk to injury, losing Kevin Huerter to injury. And then, you know, Malik Monk's going to be a free agent. And, you know, it's possible that he re-signs there, but he could also look to explore better options. Like Orlando seems like a great fit for him. In terms of them needing a guard who can dribble, pass, shoot, and play make a little bit. So maybe he gets a bit of a payday there and more opportunity. And that might leave the door open for a team like Sacramento. Their cap situation is a little bit tricky because obviously they could re-sign Monk. They could let him walk. And they don't have very many like big movable contracts to match space, but they do have some room underneath the luxury tax. So the Bulls could, you know, take back some salary, but not, you know, the full amount. So like maybe something like LaVine for Huerter. I'm not sure if this works perfectly right now. The Bulls might need to take back a little bit more salary, but that type of deal where the Kings are absorbing like half of Zach's money and the Bulls are still taking back somebody else, I think that's a good fit for both teams. Like Huerter obviously underperformed last year. His shot was not falling the way that it had in years past. But he's somebody that I think works really well next to Kobe and Ayo, who can be a movement shooter, who can come off of screens, who can make the extra pass. And that could be sort of a good buy low opportunity. And, you know, the Kings also retained their draft pick since they missed the playoffs. So I believe they'll have the 13th pick in the draft, or at least the assuming they don't move up in the lottery. So that could be an asset that maybe the Bulls are able to squeak out of this deal. And that's, I think, a really nice haul. You get a replacement for Zach, you get some cap relief, and you get maybe a pick in there. I think that's like as good as you could possibly hope for the Bulls in this situation.
Completely agree. I mean, the Bulls and the Kings have kind of been talking about Zach LaVine since Zach LaVine kind of got to the Bulls. It's always been Sacramento. When he signed his first contract, it was Sacramento who made the contract, and the Bulls had to match the offer. During the season, I was on Locked On Kings. Shout out my man, Matt George. And he said something to me about Kings fans that reminded me of Bulls fans a lot. He said, we want everything, but don't want to give up anything. And I was like, yeah, that's very familiar. Like, I know what that sounds like. So he understands. He told me they understand they need to do something. They just don't want to give up one of their key guys, because I was in there trying to get Keegan Murray. Hey, no shame in my game.
Colin asking right now in the comments, is Keegan untouchable? And everyone in the comments said, yeah, he's, yeah. You're not getting Keegan Murray away from Sacramento.
Trust me, I tried. I went against the whole Sacramento Nation, bro. They was over. I didn't care. I wanted Keegan Murray, and I did my best. But, yeah, you see why he was so special. If you just sit there and you watch him, and you see why they're so high on him. But they're in a position where they have to do something. They don't want to waste any of these guys' primes. They made big trades, you know, to get some bonus here. They gave up Tyrese Halliburton. They don't just want to be a play-in team in the West. They're not lighting the beam to be a play-in team. That rhyme, by the way, that was dope. But I think that this trade actually helps both teams for everything that Will just mentioned. The biggest one for me was Herter. And I talk a lot about not just having a three-point shooter, but having an actual threat. And what I mean by that is Ayo is a good three-point shooter, but Ayo's not a threat. And the teams aren't saying, oh, man, we got to chase him off the three-point line. We can't let him have that shot. We'll see what it looks like next year because he was balling out from the three-point line this year. So we'll see what it looks like next year. But Kevin Herter is kind of a threat, you know, when teams actually have to game plan for it and say, oh, we know we can't leave him open. I don't care if he's 0 for 15. They know they can't just leave that guy open on the team. So the Bulls haven't had something like that. And I think it will be good for them. It's always a good safety valve when DeMar drives to the bucket or anybody, Kobe drives to the bucket, and you can kick it out for that three-point shot. And that way your center doesn't have to be out there taking those shots for you either. So, yeah, I think it works out well for getting some veterans in here and allowing them to have Zach LaVine, who we all think is just a really good player, but I think personally just needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, Fish brings up a good point in the comments, and I think we should probably think about this through the other team's perspective too. He says, with Sabonis extension kicking in, do they even want Zach? Would that lock them up in salary? And I think that's the risk of trading for Zach LaVine for every team, is that, you know, with the way that the new CBA rules work, it's really hard to fill out a roster with three max players. And that's what they would have with Fox, Sabonis, and LaVine if they did make that move for him. Obviously, you're going to have to pay Keegan Murray here at some point, but I think that's like the big risk and the reason why a lot of teams aren't interested in trading for Zach is that just it hamstrings you so much in terms of what your other options are. But, you know, if they finish out this season, they miss the playoffs, and, you know, they're looking at some of these other teams like the Pelicans are ahead of them. You know, the Warriors aren't going away anytime soon. They might not be that same championship caliber team that they used to be, but they are still really good. You know, you've got the Lakers, like all these other teams, and then you've got the Rockets who are still coming. You've got the Grizzlies who should bounce back in a big way next year. You've got the Jazz who could explode any given moment if they hit on one of their picks. So the West is really difficult. And if you want to compete and if you want to contend, you've got to take some risks to add talent. And I think star power is something that, like, if you are an offense only team and you're not the top couple offensive teams in the league, it's going to be difficult to justify your existence in that way. And so bringing in Zach, another shot creator who can, you know, presumably play in a situation off of Sabonis, similar to Vooch, where he had some success in some of those pick and roll scenarios. He can create his own shot. He can shoot off the ball. He can, you know, get up and down. I think he's a good fit there. He fits the same timeline as Fox and Sabonis in terms of his age. So I think that could be a really good fit. I think the real question is, like, do they really want to go all in on offense in that way? Or do they feel like they want to, you know, play a little bit more Keon Ellis and bring in maybe another bigger wing defender with Harrison Barnes kind of aging out? So they will have options, but I think that's kind of the point in this situation, is you're looking at teams who might look at themselves a little bit differently than they did when they were in sixth place in the West, you know, 2 months before the end of the season, and they were feeling pretty good about their standings until things kind of unraveled.
Yeah, well, like, they've already made their decision about the type of team they want to be. They want to win. Like, so if that's the decision that you've made, then salary is something that I don't think that they can afford to think about, pun intended. But I think they've already tasted of being a top three in the West, and they don't want to go back, like, at all. Like, they have to justify Sabonis. They have to justify the contracts for Fox. They want to Malik Monk being that guy. Like, they want to be up there in that upper echelon. They have made this perfectly clear. So when you make that clear, that you want to be that kind of team, I don't think salary is an issue that they're going to be completely thinking about. Obviously, you're always going to be thinking about money, but I think it will afford them to take more risk in this situation.
Derek in the comments saying the Kings play in the West. They can't afford to stand pat in the middle like the Bulls, Hawks, Raptors. We saw the Thunder jump from 10th to 1st in a year, Minnesota jump. And mind you, as you just said, Dave, or you just said, Will, Memphis will be back too. And like the thing you said, Will, about the contract situation with Sabonis getting a max, you know, kick in. Do they want to add another max, you know, star kind of level contract in Zach to that? My mind immediately goes to the Phoenix Suns, who are in an 0-2 hole in their first round series right now, against one of those younger teams that just made a huge leap this year. And it's interesting that for, it seemed like a decade of the 2010s, every NBA team after the Heatles were formed was like, okay, we need to find our big three. What's our big three? Let's get our big three.
That's true.
And now it's like, is that the best mold? And you also mentioned the new CBA rules that are about to go into place, Will. And I feel like that puts even more emphasis on the question of whether or not that's the right path to go down if you're constructing an NBA roster right now. Because, like, kudos to Phoenix. They took a swing that they thought they needed to make. But they now have this big three of KD, Book, and Beal, and the rest of that roster is just giving them nothing. Mm-hmm. And I would not look. They came back and evened up their 2-2. You know, even up their series 2-2 with Denver last season in the conference semis. Credit to them for that. But and they're not dead yet. The three max contracts thing, I just don't see how that is a roster construction strategy that will work moving forward. So maybe the Kings are aware of that, or as Derek said, maybe they are desperate and say we can't stand pat. So let's take this big swing the way that the Phoenix Suns did, and either it works or it doesn't.
And like, you know, teams are going to be scared off of trading for these kind of big money contracts, these bloated contracts, the way that Zach's is. But that also could open the door for other teams to say, well, you know, maybe this is our competitive advantage, our opportunity here to take on, you know, an all-star caliber player for cheap. I mean, we're not going to be trading three first round picks and two young players for a star the way that teams were 2 years ago. We can get them for two contracts that we're not crazy about and maybe one pick and really blow out our roster that way. So I think there's definitely risks associated with building your roster that way. I think teams, once those rules actually come into play and teams are able to figure out some loopholes and like know what it's like to live in that world, I think teams are going to be a little bit more interested, but right now maybe a little bit more reticent to actually pull the trigger on moves like this. But again, like, desperation is a hell of a drug. Like these teams are, if they really want to compete and they are spending a lot of money already, like they might want to pull something like this off. And, you know, I saw something about Zach is redundant with Monk. Like this probably doesn't work if Monk is staying because they're paying him a lot of money, but maybe you view Zach as an upgrade over Monk. And you can get the Bulls to take one of your bad contracts with him. Like, you know, they seem to be pretty done with Davion Mitchell, but they don't want to lose him for nothing. Maybe you're able to kind of offload that contract and open up some more flexibility that way. Or maybe you really, you know, want to get, this is kind of the problem with not having done this at the deadline, is like, you can't attach a Torrey Craig, who is like a very good forward asset, on top of Zach for, you know, a very small amount of money. So the Bulls' optionality is a little bit limited in that way. But I think the Bulls are probably going to have to take back some bad asset in order to get anything for Zach. And I think other teams would probably view that as a positive. They can kind of get LaVine cheaply and kind of sell it to their fans that way.
Let's start diving into the Warriors. We can start the convo about them and then take an ad break a few minutes in and then come back to it. But another team that got bounced from the play-in tournament out west. A lot of people wondering if this is actually finally the end of the road for that Steph, Clay, Draymond championship core that has four rings, but just ran out of gas at the end of this season after making a nice little run to put themselves in position to get to the playoffs. And then if the Warriors make the playoffs, you know, all bets are off, but they failed to do so. Klay Thompson entering an unrestricted free agent season. I saw some Bulls fans tossing the idea of a Zach for Klay kind of side and trade swap of some kind. Chris Paul still kicking around. He's got a year and $30 million left on his deal. And then Draymond Green, another name that Bulls fans have talked about over the last few weeks, 3 years and $77.5 million remaining on Draymond Green's current contract. Does any of a potential Warriors dynasty roster breakup pique y'all's interest? Dave, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me go first because I really want to hear what Will has to say about these Warriors. Let me ask you a question first, Matt. Out of those three players you named, who do you want the most?
Pass.
And that's kind of the situation, right?
I guess Clay, because he would bug me the least, but man, yeah. Has he looked washed down the stretch of this season.
He has. He definitely has. And unfortunately, coming to this team, he might be the second best player or first best player on your squad, which, you know, lets you know where you stand right then and there. For me, it would be a situation kind of like the rich getting richer if they ended up with Zach LaVine. Because it reminds me of those moves like the Lakers used to make back in the day in the 80s. You're like, how the hell did they end up with that player for nothing? That's insane. You know, like, how did they get this? Well, you missed the playoffs. You still hovering around. You still have Steph Curry and kind of your structure in place. But you know a change needs to be made. And you find a team like the Bulls who aren't desperate to get rid of Zach, but are definitely looking forward to moving on from him, in my opinion. So you could end up with that, and I think it's a great situation for him to go somewhere to have things that I've never really seen him have, which was like a great infrastructure, you know, around him and a front office that has some true competency and a coach, you know, with a true winning pedigree and an absolute for sure number one without a doubt. There is no 1B. There is only one on that team, and then everybody else is around him. Zach's never really been in that kind of situation. He's always kind of been just floating around as far as being either the one or the 1B or it's my turn, your turn kind of thing. This will be new for him, and I think it will be good for him. I think it benefits Golden State more in that sense, but I think Will could probably break it down to me the benefits of what it could be for the Bulls on this one. But I like the move for Zach LaVine going to Golden State. I don't know if I love it for the Bulls and what they would get back.
I think the Warriors are a really complicated one. I know they're not big LaVine fans internally, and so I don't really see this happening. I also don't see that big three breaking up. I think they'll find a way to keep it together. They're going to keep Draymond, Steph, and Clay. So if that trade does happen, I think you're probably looking at either Chris Paul and or Wiggins as being the ones that get moved. You know, I think clearing out space for them in that way is going to be important. You know, Wiggins and LaVine both have the same 3 years left on their deal. Obviously Zach's making quite a bit more than Wiggins, but Wiggins was kind of dead weight for them last year. He was not good. And he really has not been good outside of that one playoff run. So I think that's an area where they might be looking at an upgrade. I do think you're right, Dave, like this situation for Zach would be really good. And if I'm Zach, like I kind of want to go to a situation like this to prove that I can be part of a system. I think playing off of Steph and Clay would make him a lot better, but I think it would force him to pick up some good habits on both sides of the ball and kind of display those on, you know, a very important team that gets a lot of national love and to kind of reshape the narrative around the way that he plays in that setting. So I think coming off of screens, I think spacing for each other, playing off Steph, like there is no doubt that he would have to fit into that system and that system would not fit to him. And I think that would be really good for him. So if I were Zach, I would kind of be excited about going into that system. Like they've had success with those kind of players, whether it be Jordan Poole or I don't know, like even Kelly Oubre had moments, D'Angelo Russell had moments with those players. And obviously they didn't work out and they moved off of them. But I feel like you could, if you're the Warriors, take a shot on Zach. Maybe he helps you, maybe he doesn't, but maybe you rehab his value enough to where you can move him again the following summer because you're not, you know, emotionally tied to him the way that the Bulls are. So I think that could make some sense. I don't think the Warriors are really going to be willing to give up assets to take on that contract though, because they're a second apron team that's paying so much in luxury tax bill that it just doesn't really make sense to bring on that kind of money. But, you know, if they are desperate enough to keep that core together and give them a shot, like you're probably not going to find a talent out there at the same level as Zach for, you know, any amount of money. And obviously if you want to find that guy, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. So maybe that works, but I just, knowing what I know about the Warriors and the way that they want to play, like Zach's kind of a ball stopper and they move the ball. That's their whole ethos. And so I don't really, necessarily see that being a great fit unless Zach really changes some things about him. But like I said, you know, maybe that works out well for him in the long run.
We got to take a break here, but real quick, Fish saying it's all about the picks with the Warriors. Andrew saying add Moody in a pick. That's the thing that frustrates me about the Bulls-Warriors conversation and it being a Zach LaVine conversation, hypothetically, is if some of those reports we heard leading up to the deadline were true, that the Warriors were willing to throw the Bulls a substantial trade package for Alex Caruso.
That's the one I would still keep my eyes on.
And you chose not to do that, and now we're talking about having to throw Caruso into a LaVine deal to actually get value in return from Golden State, and that will infuriate me to no end. Okay, when we come back from this break, a couple of teams in the East that we want to take a look at as well. Orlando, who looked like they are in trouble in his first round series against the Cavs, which continues tonight. And we'll revisit what the heck the Pistons are up to and what their plan is as we talked substantially about Bulls, Pistons, and a Zach deal that did not materialize earlier this season. Hit that like button right now if you didn't do it during the first ad break. CHGO Bulls today brought to you by our friends at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If so, we've got great news for you because our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Fox Lake, is celebrating their Jeep celebration event all month long. You know what that means. You'll be able to rave and brag to all of your friends and family about the savings you made on your new Jeep when you make your selection from their wide inventory. For a limited time, you can lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for just $439 a month for 39 months. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new Jeep 24 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for, that's right, 39 months. Incredible lease deals available at Ray. At Ray, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to that Ray's price promise. The price you see on their website is the price you pay when you go to the dealership. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big. But that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change at Ray when you mention CHGO Bulls at their service center, or mention CHGO Bulls when you book online at raycdgr/service. But hurry up, because you have to schedule that free oil change before April 30th. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you've got to check out our friends at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit RayCDJR in Fox Lake or visit RayCDJR.com. Serving the community since 1963.
And big shout out to FOCO, because FOCO is back time, baby, because it's that springtime. It's that summertime. Got to be outside. It's baseball season, man. And the only way to do it is to get fitted out in the best sports gear around. And you do that with FOCO. They got hoodies. They got shoes. They got signs. They got bobbleheads and everything in betwixt. Going to a basketball or a hockey game? Congratulations to you, because you're going to the playoffs. That's what you're going to do. So shout out to you. Have fun there. Tell me what it's like.
Not in Chicago.
Not in Chicago, you're not. That's why I said, tell me what it's like. But hey, show off your love when you go with your team branded friendship bracelet, y'all. And whether it's jackets, beachwear, or even overalls, there is something for fans for almost every single occasion. When you're going to the Cubs game or when you're driving by the White Sox game, because we're not going to those. Set decorations when we're on set. Big shout out to FOCO for always hooking us up with that, because FOCO has donated a few awesome pieces for our set. So since they showed us some love, make sure you show them some love also. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below for all non-pre-sale items. Use the promo code CHGO10 for 10% off, because that is FOCO.
All right.
Hey, be patient.
I forgot about the for show.
It's been a minute.
All right, guys, let's talk Orlando. Currently down 0-2 in their series in the first round in the East. And a lot of people are wondering, hey, this Orlando team looks like it could use a bit of scoring punch, as I think they've averaged what 72 points per game in their first two L's of this series.
Man,
I can see why Orlando might look at a Zach LaVine type player as something that they could use. And I will protect this person's identity, but somebody pitched to you and or I the other day, Dave. Hey, you know, the Bulls really need some interior defense. Maybe Orlando would be willing to part with Jonathan Isaac. And Orlando appears to have the cap space to absorb Zach's contract. I hate this idea for...
Not going to work here.
If you know me, probably obvious reasons. Keep Jonathan Isaac the hell away from my basketball team. Do you see any potential for a deal with Orlando, Will?
I do. Probably not for Isaac. I think, you know, he's obviously got a injury history. He's got some other off the court stuff that we don't need to get into right now. But he's also been slotted into their starting lineup. He's been playing center for them, and he is maybe the best defensive player per minute in the world. I mean, he is outrageously good, and I think they value that and probably don't want to get rid of him. To me, I'd be looking at some of their younger players who weren't able to crack the rotation. Sixth overall pick in last year's draft, Anthony Black, chief among them. He's a big guard, cannot shoot at all, but really good defender and really good at drawing fouls and getting downhill to the basket. That's the kind of distressed young player asset that I'd be looking at. Speaking of which, Goga Badadze, who is a free agent, is another guy I would love for the Bulls to take a crack at. He was outstanding this year in minutes where Wendell was injured. So maybe a sign and trade there, but he's going to be a free agent. So yeah, I think like you watch this Magic team struggle to generate shots. Like they really have 1.5 guys that can generate offense. And Paolo is insanely good. And I think he's going to be an outstanding player for many years to come, but you watch him and some of the shots that he takes and it's just kind of ugly. Franz, I'm a big fan. He shot the ball incredibly poorly this year. I believe sub 30%. He's like 34, 35% career. So I think that number will bounce back up, but it just goes to show that they need some help creating offense and creating easier looks for those two guys and the players off of them. Jalen Suggs had a great year. I think he'd be a great backcourt mate next to Zach. And so I could see something like that happening because they're another team that like the Kings and like, you know, maybe some of these other teams are not going to be big free agent destination teams. They're not going to be teams that are giving out max contracts to guys to come play with them. So they're going to have to use their cap space in other ways. And I think taking in a big contract for an already signed max player on, you know, a longer term contract is kind of the move that they would make. So I think he'd be a great fit there. I think they could use that exact skill set. And I think he plays really well off of, you know, Franz and Paolo. I think that's kind of a perfect fit for him.
Well,
not to mention their defense is incredible and could really absorb him.
Well, let me ask you this because it's floating around in my head. What would be the likelihood that the trade would end up with the Bulls getting back Wendell Carter Jr.?
Just people joking about that in the comments right now.
I'm serious though. Like I'm dead serious. Because I think possible.
Yeah, it's possible from like a money standpoint and them needing to put that salary back in to match, but they're going to have so much cap space that, you know, I don't see the Bulls getting a ton back for Zach. I think cap space and cap relief are going to be kind of the big asset that they can get back. And maybe it's like I said, a distressed young player who, you know, just didn't really get or make use of their opportunity like an Anthony Black. But the Bulls front office moved off of Wendell before. And I think he's on a very good contract. I think he'd be a fine center replacement, but they seem to be done with him when they moved him in the first place. So I can't really imagine them being excited to take him back. I feel like it'd be more, you know, a Joe Ingles or something like that, who's got one guaranteed year. And maybe you either can move him down the line or, you know, just like buy him out or something like that. But I don't really see a Wendell reunion just because I feel like the Bulls have already gotten rid of him before.
Yeah. And I'm not saying because I want it. It just,
you know, I know people are way too down on Wendell as Bulls fans. I get it, but like, he's a fine player. He's not like an all-star. Cool. He's not going to be like elite, but he's a fine starter. And on his contract, like I'd rather have Wendell making $11 million than Vooch making 20 in his age 35 season, you know?
And guess what? You could have both.
As if I don't feel enough already as a Bulls fan, like a hamster stuck on a wheel. Let's get Wendell Carter Jr. back. Also, in reference to you talking about Anthony Black, Will, people in the comments making some jokes. Broom saying, can't shoot? Sounds perfect for us. book saying, did you say can't shoot at all? Acme, sold.
But okay, I mean, here's the thing about that. I am not a huge Anthony Black fan. I think I had him behind Cason Wallace last year on my big board and just like point guard rankings. So he was like around 10 or 11 on my big board. I think he's got some tools, but like the Bulls are not in a position where they're like, let's get fit right now. Let's like go trade for guys that could be, you know, good role players that could play alongside. No, they've got to get upside in their building. Like they need to take some swings and they're going to just be going the other direction. They need to start accumulating players with upside. And I'm not saying Anthony Black's going to be a star, but he's 20 years old. He can defend. He's big. And he can get to the basket. Like, I think there's value in trying out a player like that. This is not going to be a situation where, you know, the Bulls just have their pick of the litter in terms of what kind of assets they're going to get back for Zach. And so maybe Anthony Black is great for you. Maybe you end up packaging him again and trading him down the line. But to me, like, value has to be king here. You have to be getting value. It cannot just be, you know, what is the best situation, or why are we still trying to compete for that eighth seed? You have to make some changes if you're going to get out of this cycle of mediocrity. And I think part of that is taking some swings on upside and being okay with being bad for a little bit.
In the, you know, category of desperate NBA teams, now let's move to the Detroit Pistons. I think some people maybe saw the Pistons taking some kind of step forward with this young core that they have finally accumulated through a few years of tanking. Much the same that, you know, you mentioned the Rockets earlier, Will, made a really strong run down the stretch of this season, couldn't quite make the play-in, but their potential future looks bright. We saw what this young OKC core was already able to do. And people wondering, even, you know, to a similar degree, Orlando with Wagner, Paolo, and people, at least some people, saw the Pistons as one of those teams that's like, they're coming. They came nowhere this season. I mean, they did beat the Bulls twice, so credit to them for that. But maybe the Pistons are desperate for something to get this team off the ground and some kind of shakeup they feel is needed. The one hangup I have here to see, like, to buy that the Pistons might still legit be interested in Zach and his scoring prowess is what you said about Orlando, Will, and that hey, that is a defensively strong team and they could absorb some of Zach's defensive deficiencies. I don't see the same calculation working out in a potential Zach to the Pistons trade when you consider some of the pieces that they have in the backcourt and just their defense in general. Do you think that that is something that the Bulls and Pistons could still revisit? Because there were reports that there were at least initial talks or musings between these two sides that ultimately went nowhere and probably not even very close. Do you think that that possibility still exists, Will?
Definitely still exists. But I think the first thing that the Pistons need to figure out is who's going to be their president of basketball operations, because it sounds like Troy Weaver is going to be either moving on or moving into a different position within the organization. He obviously was the one who was responsible for the roster construction and management this past year. And he was the one who presumably had interest in LaVine. But I think their interest in LaVine was just like insofar as they were interested in adding talent cheap. And again, I think that's going to be, when I say cheap, I don't mean contract. I mean, in terms of outgoing assets, you're not going to have to give up a lot for him. We talked about this with our friend James Edwards of The Athletic. And he was kind of saying, like, you know, it's not going to be Ivy and picks. It's going to be, you know, some lower level contracts, lower level prospects. And you're going to be getting cap relief as kind of the primary asset here. And I think that is still true. Like, but the Pistons have so much space this year. And I think so much desire to move up. They've got a great crop of young players. I think there's a couple of ways this could work. Number one, James suggested a trade for the Pistons where they send out like Ivy, Durin, and a pick for Mikal Bridges. And I think they would be in a position if they did that where they could still go out and trade for Zach. In addition to that, I think that's a really interesting core. If you've got Cade Cunningham, Bridges, LaVine, Asar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, if Durin is outgoing in one of those trades, that would be really interesting. You get a ton of spacing. You would make up for some of Zach's defense with Mikal Bridges. So I could see that happening. I could also see, like, if the Pistons fall, they're currently projected to have the number one pick. They'll have the highest odds for number one pick, but Last year, they fell from 1 to 5 in the lottery, and the same could happen again this year. So let's say they fall to 4 or 5. Would the Pistons send out Fournier, pick up his option, so he'd have a 1 year, $19 million deal coming back to the Bulls. You take on the rest of Zach's money and you swap picks. So the Pistons would get the Bulls 11th pick and the Bulls would get the Pistons 4th or 5th pick. You sell it to the Bulls fans as you're moving up in the draft, you get a higher pick, and you're clearing out space, and you sell it to the Pistons as you get a pick and Zach LaVine. I feel like that could be a win-win situation where, you know, the Bulls, this draft is not super strong, but if you're able to get Nikola Topic or Alexander Sarr, or even like a Rasasher, someone like that who could be a high level role player with this team, and a ton of cap space, young talent with upside, I feel like that would be a great situation. But I feel like this idea of like Ivy coming back to the Bulls is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, does what happened with Ausar Thompson change anything in this scenario? You know, having a blood clot, having to deal with that, you know, the future of his health kind of, you know, in the air and unknown. We know what they felt about Zach, obviously, at the trade deadline, but that happened after that. So does that kind of change anything?
Maybe. I mean, it depends on how severe it is. Obviously, that was something that I believe basically retired Chris Bosh. Yeah. So it can be a very serious thing, but he's 20 years old. So hopefully he's able to move past that and continue to play at a high level. He was outstanding to start the year, kind of tapered off. He's really kind of miserable jump shot, but elite defender, great rebounder, great transition player, incredible athlete. And you saw Amen Thompson, his twin brother, really succeed when Alperen Şengün went down and he was able to play the five. And so I think this recipe of Cade with Ausar Thompson at the five and shooting and defense and versatility around him could make a lot of sense. Even like the way that they played with Simone Fontecchio and his 3-point shooting, I think really made those guys better. So yeah, I could still see the Pistons being interested in Zach. I don't think Ausar Thompson would be somebody coming back to the Bulls. I'd be ecstatic if that were the case because I'm a big fan of the Thompson twins. But I feel like they still need to, like, they're in a situation, the Pistons are, where they've done the hard part of the rebuild in terms of accumulating high level assets and players that can really pop at some point. And now it's about putting the right pieces around them and figuring out who is part of their future and who's not. And so I think that decision, regardless of the blood clot situation, is going to have to be part of this new executive who takes over in Detroit. That's going to have to be part of his plan because he's got some big decisions to consider right now. And yeah, we'll have to see if a big trade, a big swing for a guy like Zach is part of that.
Martez Hodges in the comments saying swap Zach for Trae Young. I mean, you watched that Bulls Hawks play-in game, right? Did you Martez? Did you miss that one? Stop with the Trae Young. Stop. Wesley, meanwhile, saying getting cap relief and a cost controlled lottery level player sounds reasonable. I would have to agree. Meanwhile, our guy Prooms just still cracking off jokes, saying Vooch is dreaming of playing with the great Evan Fournier again. Yeah. Hey, you want Vooch? You want Vooch? Oh my goodness. Turks mentioned in the comments it would be cool to get Jaden Ivey in Chicago, but I think I'm with you, Will, based on what we've heard since the trade deadline, what we've seen since the trade deadline. I think that short-lived pipe dream of some Bulls fans of getting Jaden Ivey back in a Zach LaVine deal is all but dead at this point.
I've got are we done with our options here? I've got a couple more that I just thought of as we were going.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a few minutes left. Fire away.
So I think two other teams that could be interested in the Eastern Conference. One is the Cavaliers. We'll have to see how their season ends here and what Donovan Mitchell decides, but he is going to be in the last year of his deal next year, I believe. And he has been said pretty much everything except I'm going to leave. He's never committed to staying in Cleveland longer term. And I think, you know, this could be a situation where the Cavs, they still have obviously a great young core with Garland, Mobley, Allen. But they are probably going to want to bring in another big contract, another star level player to help. And I think a Zach deal for them makes some sense to me because, you know, Garland moves a little bit more into an on ball situation. You add a little bit more size. Honestly, Donovan's defense, he gets a lot of steals. He is not a good defender. I don't think Zach is too far behind where he is as a defensive player. So maybe there's a 3-team trade where Donovan goes elsewhere and the Cavs bring Zach back in. Not probably a super high likelihood of that happening, but it's a thought. And then the other one is the Nets. They are a team that obviously is kind of in the middle unintentionally. They don't have any of their own picks, but they've got a handful of picks from the Suns and I want to say like the Rockets from some other trades. So they could be a team that's looking to add to the Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Nick Claxton core. And I feel like if you could get some picks to take Ben Simmons' contract for the year and then let him walk, you know, he's probably not going to play anyway, just kind of dead money on your books, but it frees up your cap space after this next season. I think that could be a win for the Bulls, and maybe he does play and he looks good, and then you can either re-sign him or trade him elsewhere. So pretty low likelihood on both of those, but I think those could be teams that are interested in or that fit makes sense because they're going to have space or they're going to be able to get off money and not be able to use it elsewhere. So like I said, probably not super likely and not perfect trades because you're taking back bad money or you're, you know, getting yourself into a different situation if you're the Bulls, but definitely I think there will be more interest out there than we sort of anticipated around the trade deadline.
Martez in the comments saying trade Vooch and Patrick Williams for Brandon Ingram. Okay. I'll trade you $5 for $1 million. How about that? Oh, bless your heart, Bulls fans. all right, real quick before we get out of here, we saw the Thunder take a 2-0 lead last night in the Western Conference first round over the Pelicans. Dude, the Thunder starting five shot like 1,000,000% from the field last night. Like, holy shnikes. And Big Dave, you and I look like we might be right on line with that Spo gentleman sweep. Miami got that W, baby.
Or we're all wrong, and that Heat voodoo magic is about to take them to the conference finals again.
are they gonna hit a franchise record 23 threes for the rest of the games of the series, Will?
Look, I'm done putting it past the Heat. I don't think so, but I'm done saying no.
Yeah, I'm not gonna doubt the Heat at all, but I will say this. Because again, they hate it when we give Spo love, but I'm about to give them some more. Because Spo sat there and said, okay, who's the one player on that team that we don't really know about and have an attack? And they looked at Porzingis and went at Porzingis's ass. If you watch that game, Bam Adebayo was giving him the business while also he went 1-for-9. 12 points, I think he had ended up with something like that, like in the total. Like, that's crazy, man. So, again, Spo doing Spo stuff. We'll see what it looks like in game three. Tyler Hero, part of Junior Sports, was really awesome as a playmaker.
Yeah, all they need to do is hit 23 threes, and they'll be on their way.
Simple as that. All right, guys. Of the three teams playing tonight who are in an 0-2 hole, that being Orlando, Philly, Lakers, which of the three best shot at a W tonight? I think it's Philly, and I don't think it's particularly close, but I'm going to go with Philly.
Best shot as at a W tonight, I'm going with the Chicago Bears, who are going to draft Kelly.
Hey!
Bears.
No, I agree with you, though. I think Philly, I don't think the Lakers are winning a game this series. That was just like absolute devastation to lose that 10-point lead in the last couple minutes. Orlando, I think, could win and even the series. I don't really think either of those teams are very good. So maybe getting back to home court helps the Magic out. But I do think this Knicks Sixers series is probably going to go 6 or 7 games. And I think you got to have the home team winning these next two in order for that to happen.
Yeah. And I do think Orlando has a shot to get a victory tonight, though. I really do. I agree with you, Will. I think they got a real shot at home just to get themselves one good one against this team. So, yeah.
Brooms in the comments saying beautiful thing watching LA get swept. Well, Nuggets are only halfway there. I agree. I would love to watch it happen again. But Wesley pointing out that the Lakers might get 50 free throw attempts tonight after that LeBron crybaby session at the podium after their game 2 loss. Oh, we never get any calls. Check the score, LeBron. Check the free throw attempt score this season. Then shut your yappa. hey, we're out of time. Hopefully we kept you all at least mildly entertained as we killed another hour waiting for the NFL draft to begin tonight. Round one. Let's do it. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central Time, to lead you all into your weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's that. Will to go Gottlieb, Will_Gottlieb, Big Day, Bow, BWL Sports. Shout out to our pal producer, Joey Spathis, @Joey Spathis, @Bulls_Peck. We are CHO_Bulls. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Bulls Nation. Bear down. See you, Rebby. Good.
Bears. Bears. Bears.
Bears. Bears. Bears. Bears. All silly like the mayor.